Hey, this is Chipix. You're listening to Centering.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 146, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, March 4th, 2019. The time, 8:38 p.m. Central Standard Time. Daylight saving times for just a little longer. Deep in the heart of Texas when it is like 18 degrees outside. But it's warm in here, baby. It's warm in here. You guys stay warm out there. I've been told that at least a dozen times today. But this is going to be the best episode ever. This is CSGO Katowice Major Recap episode, ladies and gentlemen. This is where the boys come out to play. We don't mess around with the recaps. There is no more predictions. There is no more what-ifs. We hope fors. No. The results are in, and we're going to talk about it. But before we get to that, let's introduce everyone. Hello, my name is Tim. I will be your captain for this journey into esports. Alongside me, as always, you already heard him typing. Anuj.
What's up, fellas? How are you doing?
Looks like you got some sun.
Got a little bit of sun. Feeling a little hurt. You know what? I usually never burn, obviously, like for obvious reasons, right?
What?
I've had sunburn time in my life that I can remember. Let's make that two after this weekend. I am hurting.
Really?
I am. My whole back, my shoulders, everything.
Look, I appreciate you having a all-paid trip to Cancun and then demanding that you're back for this episode.
I had to be here. Like, I had to be
your
here.
Your work today was like, Anuj, we need you to stay a little longer. And you were like, no. The show needs me.
I was watching games on the beach to make sure I could be here for today.
That's right. That's right. I somewhat believe you, too, though. Like, I feel like someone watching CSGO on the beach, it would be you.
Oh, 100%. Ask my wife. I had the blanket. We were laying on the beach at one point. I put my towel over my face and literally had the match underneath my towel so I could see what was happening at that point in time.
I believe it.
Unfortunately, I missed the semis. That's it.
You're so dedicated.
I am. I try to be. For you. For y'all. The listener.
And we also have Brett. Hello, Brett.
What's up, Zen Master? Look at you, all zenned out.
I don't feel zen at all.
Maybe we should all like sit on the floor.
I don't. We're the turtles, and this is like Splinter right here.
I don't advise it at all. So for those who follow us on Twitter, by the way, you should definitely follow us at The Center Ring. You'll get all the latest infos and news, right? You may have seen me tweet out earlier today on Twitter a picture of my current very professional setup. And if you're watching us on Twitch and or Phantom's Facebook stream, you will then see that I'm on the beautiful floor in my office. You can see my guitars behind me. I got some Pokemon cards behind me sitting on the floor. Everything is on the floor right now, which isn't that big of a difference, right? My office is normally pretty messy, but I'm normally not on the floor. So I was just, you know, this is what I get. I was a supportive husband. My wife, she needs her office. She was looking for desks. She couldn't find a desk. So I was like, look, babe, take my desk. I will go to IKEA and I'll just buy tabletops, right? Because I don't mind it. She doesn't like the IKEA tabletop look. For me, it's basic. It's exactly what I need. Well, that's where it all goes wrong. I should have looked at IKEA's inventory before I took apart my office and moved it into hers. Because she didn't need it right away. She didn't need it. She was like, no, keep it in there and I can go a little bit. I was like, no, because if I get the desk, then I need to move the desk in there and it's just not enough room. I'll move it first and I'll be proactive. And babe, you need it. And neither of the two IKEAs near us have desks. So that means my desk will be here this Friday. And until then, I have this beautiful floor setup. You know, I would like to think the floor is my desk right now.
Have you gamed on this yet?
Like absolutely not. Absolutely no? not. Let me tell you what. Oh, we are like, what, 5 minutes into the episode already? And I can't feel my back. I cannot. It hurts. If you're watching on stream, you'll see me just kind of fidgeting. It's the pain. It's not me moving. It's the pain moving me. I can't do it.
This will be not only the best show ever, the quickest show ever.
Yeah, for real, right? You ever want to see me get out on time? Sit me on the floor. I'll just have to lean back or something. But we're making it work. We're making it work. I still have my normal setup. Wires are everywhere. But this time next week, I will have a sweet new setup. So
it's going to look gorgeous, dude.
You'll still have everything on the floor, but it'll just, you know, the camera will be raised up high enough to where you don't see it. I'll just shove it all underneath the desk.
Nice.
But again, that's what I get for being a supportive husband, I suppose.
That's right.
But enough of that. Enough of that. The listeners don't care about my personal problems. They don't care about my back. But you know what back they should care about? Ents. Because they're the only ones who carry this major to anything interesting. Also, kind of weird, though, considering they're also... We're just going to talk openly about the major. We'll backtrack a little bit and everything and recap. But I will start off with this. Interestingly enough, you can give credit for making the major exciting to Ents, and you can also blame Ents for making the major the worst major at the same time, right? Like, this was the best and worst major all at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it was... I think everybody was so excited to see this Liquid Astralis matchup, or even the 1-3 matchup where it could have been Astralis Navi and to see Simple in the finals again. And man, like, Ents spoiled the show. But what a show it was. I mean, it was really exciting to watch them make it as far as they did, considering the run they had to make to get to this point. I mean, it made it mean so much more. And then Alu, right? Alu was such a figurehead, you know, and a staple in the community just a few years ago playing with NiP. There was so much pressure put on him at the time, and that's where the bot Alu chant started coming from. And this guy has really taken an organization, found the best young Finnish players that he could find, and man, did he find some good ones here. And
he was kind of criticized when he joined them too. Like, if people think back in the day, like, they were kind of a laughing stock. And when I say back in the day, I mean like a handful of months ago, they were still viewed as kind of a laughing stock, right? It was really just the major qualifiers, I think, when people really started to be like easy for Ents and actually being like for real about it, right? Not sarcastically.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely proved themselves just going through some of the previous stages, especially, you know, in the challenger stages, they looked so dominant going 3-1 and played so well. And then the legend stage is where I think the respect came in, because to go down 0-2 at any stage of the tournament, be one game away from elimination and have to win 3 in a row with your back against the wall, like, you knew this team wasn't going to quit at that point. I think going in, you know, obviously just talking about these final stages, they had such a tough route to get to the finals, and it was so unlikely. And, you know, I'm sure people had them in their pick-ems maybe to get an upset here or there, but to just think about what they did, they took Liquid, a team that had been playing so well. They were the 3-0 in the previous stage. The NA hope, right? Like, they just had a huge following behind them and rooting for them.
Well, and they've been playing so well, right, going into it.
Yeah, I mean, all signs would say Liquid was going to roll through this match against them. They didn't even take it to a third map. You know, how impressive is that to not only beat Liquid, but 2-0 them? I mean, obviously Inferno did go to overtime, but that overtime really just, as a fan, it was just so quick, and it was so, at least it was painless. Like, they really just ripped that Band-Aid off and took it to them in the overtime there. But yeah, I mean, they just looked so good, and Alexi was another player that stood out in these matches as somebody that was so consistent, and you know, you could count on him to make plays. And same thing with what is it, X7, sorry, I might be pronouncing his name wrong, it could be 7X or something like that. Was, you know, these guys really stood out in this tournament, and it was nice to not just see Alu be the focal point, but really have young studs behind him again. And the Navi matchup, I think it was kind of the same thing, right? Like, we saw a team that just played well as a group. I mean, what can you ask more from Simple? I don't think anything. In those matches, he did everything right.
Yeah, and every match he did something. He did something right. I mean, if it wasn't for him, I mean, Ince could have done what Astralis did to Ince in the finals, right? To Na'Vi, it kind of felt like that. And this poor guy, everywhere he goes, it's just he doesn't get the help he needs.
Talking about Simple, right?
I'm talking about Simple, right?
Yeah. It's tough watching his situation because all you needed was Electronic to play like Electronic had been playing. For the past few months, Electronic has been in form. And in this, you know, these final three matches here, he was, you know, bottom to second to bottom in most, I think all three games actually, in terms of his ADR and actual kills. So it was just so disappointing to not see somebody else step up with Simple when he was making, I mean, it was play after play. I went back and watched that VOD just to see what happened because I was in so much shock seeing that final score. I mean, Simple played incredible. There was nothing more he could do. And I think the question is, like, what needs to happen to that team? You just need one more player, it feels like, to be consistent with them. And they should have never lost that match.
For whatever reason, in my brain, I always kind of think of Simple and Nico together. And I think it's just for the longest time, they were always referred to as the best two players in the world in Counter-Strike, right? Like, in any given moment, you could have made an argument for Nico and you could have made an argument for Simple. And I think to see how both of their teams have performed as of late, it's so night and day on how we view Simple and how we view Nico, right? Like, Na'Vi is here in spite of how the rest of the team is performing, right? Simple is here despite his team. Where FaZe, who lost 2-0 in the quarters to Na'Vi, they look awful.
Yeah, FaZe is...
Again, it's not like, man, what you got to do to help out Nico around here, right? Because he is not performing to what you would think a number one player would be performing as either.
I agree with you. It is black and white. Simple is like the best player in the world. And that's including, you know, the players from Astralis, because I think all the players from Astralis are so good that even Device doesn't necessarily stand out every game. It doesn't always have to be Device. It always has to be Simple. So for him, I just, you know, you feel bad for the guy because he's made the sacrifices coming to NA and trying to get onto one of the best NA teams at the time and elevate them. He went to Na'Vi, which was, I think, the obvious move, right? Like, everyone saw if he had an opportunity to go to Na'Vi. Yeah.
But I would like to point out, though, Liquid was not a failure, though. His stop at Liquid was not a failure. They got second place in finals. They went far in majors with him. The only reason he left Liquid is because he was ready to go home. He
didn't. And it was Na'Vi. I don't think it would have been for anybody else but Na'Vi, right?
Right. It's not, but like, that's what I'm saying, bro. So it's like, don't view his departure from Liquid as like, he didn't get it done. Right, you just because you win a major doesn't mean you didn't get it done, you know.
But the ultimate goal for the best player in the world is to win a major. That's how these guys are. Like, second place is great and all, but when you're Simple, I think it's kind of major or bust every major, you know, regardless of the team that he's on. When you're the best player in the world, your expectation is to win. And this is not even like the LeBron Jordan issue. The problem is Simple doesn't have any notches under his belt right now, and he's in the prime of his career. So for this guy, you know, if he's not, I feel like he should be looking for either what do we need to bring onto this team to make us better, or do I need to make a move and go build another team somewhere where we can win?
I'm wondering if there's a little dysfunction, and I've talked about this pregame. It just felt like they were out of sync, and if you watch the end of their match that they lost, you could just tell the players are frustrated with each other. I mean... the very last round on Mirage, a couple of people died quickly, a third dies, and you can see Zeus just throw up his hands in front of his teammates on the stream. You can see him just like physically frustrated, and you know, at the end he also rushes into site and dies just to get it over with. And I talked about this pregame, you know, Edward looked over and I'm like, dude, what the hell, you know, what's going on? You know, you don't act like this. Don't throw it. We lose as a team. It felt like this. It's, you know, we win as a team, we lose as a team. This is not how you should be acting right now. So I'm wondering if there's a little bit of a just disconnect there.
Yeah.
With the IGL and, and the rest of the team.
Zeus obviously played poor in this particular round. He was the lowest rated player, lowest ADR on the team. But again, I still put this more on Flamey and Electronic in the dysfunction. I don't know. You know, winning kind of cures that. I don't know if it's necessarily like they brought in Zeus for a reason. He has a major on his back. You know, he led a team that I think surprised a lot of people.
Yeah,
to,
but
to win regardless of
Do you think it was more? Do you think it was more so Zeus, or was it Adrin and Hobbit just playing out of their minds in that major?
I give equal credit to Zeus. I mean, I still remember the timeout that they called when they were on train. You know, they called that timeout, and Zeus had everybody standing over there, and you could see him giving that speech and pumping them up, and they came back and won that match. I think Zeus was just as important to that team, but they obviously needed Hobbit and Adrin to play well, kind of like right here. Zeus is not going to be the star player, so his rating to me doesn't matter as much, but if Flamey and Electronic, who need to be Adrin and Hobbit, you know, are underperforming, that's not necessarily on him. I think they're going to make a change at this point. Like, this is multiple tournaments in a row where they've fallen flat. I think Liquid gets a pass this major because it's still their first run with Stewie, so I don't look at their loss as bad as I look at Navi's loss in this situation. I look at FaZe being even worse than both of these guys. You know, like, FaZe's loss to me is the worst because these guys, again, got 2-0'd in the first round. They didn't look pretty in either game. I mean, I guess the Inferno match was close, but Mirage, they got worked pretty easily there. FaZe, you know, to have Nico, they made the move with Adrin. I don't know what you do if you're them because you have so many good players. Like, what's the problem with FaZe in your eyes?
I think it's, and I've said this from the get-go, I think it's too many cooks in the kitchen. They need to lighten the load. Now, who do you lighten? That's the question, right? But I do think they need to have a clear voice and a clear leader. In my opinion, you keep Nico, but he's not your leader. Nico is not a leader.
Just, what makes you think that?
I think just because you're the best player on the team doesn't necessarily make you a leader, right? I think a lot of it's like your physical attributes as far as like when you're playing, right? Your body language to me speaks a lot more on holding your composure down. You know, kind of like how Brett was just saying with Zeus freaking out and then Edward kind of giving him a look like, bro, like, come on, like, let's get your head in the game. I almost feel like Olafmeister is better in that sense, just because the dude has been around and seen so much that he really does keep his composure. And like Nico, I've just seen it one too many times with him just leaning back, giving a huge exhale and rolling his eyes.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at the best teams in the world, how many of those best players on each individual team are the leader, the guy, yeah, the IGL, right?
Well, that's the other thing too, right? I mean, I think let your shooter shoot. Let your shooter shoot. I think people in CSGO love to see, like, well, this guy's the best player. He obviously knows what he's doing. Not all the time. Normally, he's the best player because the IGL or his teammates around him allow him to be the best player, right? So I do think there's a lot to say to that, Brett.
I think the biggest issue, like we're all agreeing, I think, here is they need an IGL, like a proper IGL. And unfortunately, they had that in Kerrigan. I think they just lost faith in him because the dominance of Astralis will do that to you. FaZe was not a bad team with Kerrigan. They were getting second a lot of the time. They just couldn't get over that hump. And then, yeah, they had the occasional loss to Na'Vi or they had the occasional Liquid, but those are two great teams. Those are not teams to like say, oh my gosh, like how are we losing these matches? I think towards the end, it was a lack of faith in Kerrigan. So they had to make that change, but I don't think they made the right change.
How many teams have Astralis broken up?
Or brought back together, MIBR, for example, you know?
Yeah.
And MIBR, on the flip side, they don't need to make any changes losing 2-0 to Astralis. Like, it's Astralis. Teams are just going to have to study them better and do what they do better.
Well, I mean, I do think so every team that made the playoffs, and really any team in the major, but let's focus on the playoffs here. Because we've talked a lot about all the other teams, right? And we'll talk about some of the teams that have made shuffles and roster moves already days after, or a day after, even. But like some of these teams that we've already talked about, Ents, they can take away a lot of positive things, right, from the major. The grand finals was pretty ugly. They were never in it, apart from being tied 3-3. But yeah, let's be real. They were never in it.
They were a near clutch from Dupree on train away from being blown out in that match too.
Right. So
on the pistol round. Yeah. Pistol round.
And that's why there's just not a whole lot to talk about there. Na'Vi and FaZe, a lot of bad things to take away, right? A lot of they left the major with more question marks than they had going in. Team Liquid, I want to talk about them more, but you brought up MIBR. I think teams like MIBR, NIP, Renegades, all these guys can take away positives when they leave. Because even though this is like an old new roster for MIBR, and I thought they played really well.
MIBR just needed to win their map pick, and they were so close to doing it. You know, they had Overpass was the map that they selected. They were literally a round away from taking this bad boy. And if they had done that, they weren't expected to win Inferno. Right now, Astralis is on a whole nother level on Inferno and in Nuke. You can't touch them on either map, and that makes it really hard because you can't get a ban off on both of them. So one way or the other, you're going to play them on Inferno or Nuke right now. I think they have like a 17-game win streak on Inferno and a 300,000-something on Nuke. It's crazy. So MIBR, I guess with that point being said, MIBR was a point away from taking their map pick and sending that to train, which I think would have been more of a, you know, an up-in-the-air game for them. I think they would have had a chance there. So MIBR can walk out holding their head up. They are new together again, I guess, even though they've played together. Yeah. You still have to get that comfort level. Back. Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I wouldn't be overly concerned if I were them. I do think with that team getting back together, however, they're going to have to see results in the coming months. This is not going to be one of those things where they're going to be patient, right, for the long haul. They've already done this. It was nice to see Coldzera back. Again, you see Taco, like, making people are realizing how important Taco is. He allows these guys to, like, put themselves in position to really succeed, and he doesn't complain about it. He was, you know, you were seeing the return of Coldzera a little bit. So for them, I would say, you know, you have to see results soon, but this was too early to give them a bad notch because they were close to taking this to a third map against Astralis.
And also, I was watching that game. I was watching that semifinals, and when MIBR lost on Inferno, or I'm sorry, on Overpass, on the first map, I was just thinking to myself, man, you really have one shot to take a map on Astralis. You really have that first game to find their weakness. And then after map one, it's too late at that point because you're not going to get, they're not going to drop their map pool. And they've kind of done this ingenious thing where they said, guys, let's just master. This is not like discrediting how good they are, right? Obviously they're the best team in the world. But they have just thought of, let's just master two maps, right? Let's master Nuke, let's master Inferno, and...
But they're really good at, like, five or six maps, though.
That's
not
what I'm
like
saying. I'm not their record saying, overall, like, they're okay even at all the others, but, like you mentioned, you can only veto so many maps. I'm surprised most teams, and I've often said this, right, that teams ban too often to their weakness and not to their strengths, and Astralis has made that really hard to do because they're dominating on a very, you know, two maps, and you just don't get that many bans.
Yeah, I think just teams just need deeper map pools. Like, you know, a lot of teams focus on, like I said, one map that they're really good at and then trickle in a couple others that they're okay at. Astralis has mastered five or six maps, you know, and really two of them they just happen to be undefeated on. But I think there's if you go and look through their records, I think a couple of them, they only have one or two losses. So it's really insane. They're very good at all maps. And I think other teams need to practice that way of, hey, let's get good at a handful of maps instead of just be really good at one or two and hope that those get drawn. Astralis is on another level, man. These guys, you know, the meta even slightly changes, right? Like we saw the AUG really in full effect in this major. It was used so heavily. I mean, it felt like 90% of the buys, if you had the money, you were getting the AUG. And that's a pretty big change because it's just a different primary weapon that four out of your five players are generally using on one side of the map. and they're just don't skip a beat. They're just so good. And, you know, they deal with, you know, tragedy amongst the team. And we'll get into that a little bit later, but these guys can have all the distractions in the world and they just prep. I mean, they study so hard. You watch them against Ents, and there were some plays that just stood out to me. There was one where Serge B was coming on a rotate, and they double stacked a corner on Inferno where they stood on top of each other and held an angle where this guy was going to walk around. And you could tell it was just so perfectly executed. They just are so good and on another level technically. I don't think, you know, I don't think it's really even close right now for a number two.
Well, I mean, look at it too, right? Yeah. I saw Magist tweet out that they're already back to practicing today. A day after winning the major, they were already back in the office watching film and going over tape and everything. And you think how the little things really add up to be a big advantage. Look at teams, and we'll talk about the impact of this later on, but Cloud9, right, already made two roster moves, and we'll talk about that later. They have to basically start back from square one between now and the next big tournament or the next major qualifier, where Astralis, they've kept this core group for such a long amount of time. I mean, this is really three majors for the core group in Astralis. And all they do is replace a person here and there. And even then, for the last two majors, they haven't made any roster moves.
Three, right? Because KRB was there four majors ago. When they won, I mean, then they lost one and won back to it.
Major victories. Excuse me. Oh, yeah. Yes, you are right. You are right. Yeah, if you're just looking at raw major performances and everything like
that. Like, he's been there for a while now, which is incredible. Like, the lineup of five has been together for over a year.
Yeah. You're really looking at, you know, back in the day, Fnatic. You know, and we could talk about that a little bit, because I know a lot of people are saying that they're tired of seeing Astralis win, and this is bad for the game. It's bad for CSGO. They want to see diversity, right?
Can I say something to that real quick?
Yeah, please do.
This just irks me, because people don't remember what Astralis went through to get here. They were the team that was number two or number three. I mean, they were losing in semifinals and quarterfinals, and they were on the verge of so many victories, and they had so much heartbreak. And now they're the golden boy. And I think that, I mean, what a story, because they were the team that everybody, I felt like, was rooting for, right? When they were losing these close games, it was like, oh my gosh, another Astralis choke. It was kind of like the Liquid feel in that sense at that time, that Liquid couldn't close out matches and Astralis couldn't win the big games. And so it's just crazy to see that they don't have the kind of fan following at these big events, because it seems like most of the people are against them when they're on this stage at this point.
And I wonder why that is, though, too, because, like, I really felt like with SK, they had a lot of the fans behind them. Now, that helps being Brazilian and the fans just go insane anyways. But I never felt like you had that much hate against them. Fnatic, I think, definitely did when they had their dynasty going on. Fnatic definitely took a lot of hate from the side.
That's because they were personalities.
Like, that's what I was about to say. Like, Olafmeister was cocky. All of them.
Yeah, Flesha, the hacking accusations, and he played it so well, that villain role, you know? They were a very, very hateable team in esports.
They were like the Michigan basketball team. What was the name of that team?
Fab Five.
The Fab Five, yeah. That's what they were. Like, they were better than you. They knew they were better than you, and they were gonna let you know they were better than you.
So, and then, like, Astralis is like the exact opposite, right? They are better than you. They know they're better than you, but they're still gonna say, "Hey, man, anyone can beat us, right? Any given match, everybody has a chance. Everyone's got a chance, guys. Hey, guys, GG, everyone."
they've had every opportunity to kind of fire back too, because there have been accusations where, you know, like using the smoke bug, right?
Going into the major, there was accusations.
Yeah, and they were just like, well, you know, they just played it off, and they weren't defensive or anything like that. It's just how they are, how they roll. That's their personality.
And they even, like, had a guy quit on them on, like, signing day, you know, like KRB. That whole fiasco, people kind of forget about what happened there. You know, he was supposed to literally sign his contract that day. He's close friends with all of these guys. He walks out on them to take a crazy contract with Nords, which is not a bad thing to do. It's just the way he did it. And then they pick up Majisk out of nowhere, and now they've made this run. And I feel like, again, they've done nothing but be like stand-up people, right? Like, in the sense, you don't hear anything about them. Like, they're just likable individuals.
And just to go off Majisk and just how good the team is, you know, Majisk, before he went to Astralis, I mean, and, you know, he struggled before Astralis, but before he went there, he was known to be like, what, a top four player in CS for the longest time. And then he struggled. And it's like, man, what happened to this guy? You know,
it fell all the way down to,
yeah, he just,
you
know, fell.
Optic when they were in a rebuild kind of mode.
Right.
And he ended up with the MVP of this tournament.
Yeah, he's MVP of this. Yeah, it's crazy what this organization, their structure, what this coach and what this IGL can do for you. It's just amazing. It's a great run.
And, you know, the post-match interview with Dupree and OJ talking about, you know, how his dad passing and how this was for him and everything. And you could tell, like, immediately after the game, Dupree starts to tear up and break down a little bit. So, like, that was not, like, you know, like, we were talking a couple episodes ago, like, man, I wonder if playing will get that off of his mind, right? Like, if playing, he can just play through it and just almost forget about it, into a sense. And you can definitely tell it was definitely on his mind. He was definitely thinking a bit about it while playing. So to play on that level as a team, because that, again, I think Anuj, you said it last episode, like, that's not just a Dupree issue, right? Like, that, they're all buddies. They all felt his dad passing. For them to perform like that, knowing that that was a storyline going into it, to me, it was one of the more impressive things.
It's crazy. Like, these guys are so young. Like, even, you know, we, like I said, just mentioned Flesha and now Dupree. Like, these, they're kids still, you know? So to see him, like, having to deal with that and then go perform on the biggest stage is just insane to me. And Thorin tweeted it out, you know, he mentioned something, you know, like, they had every excuse in the world, and it would have been completely okay had this not gone Astralis's way. Like, you could understand a team dealing with something like that, you know, failing in that moment, because there's so much other stuff, real life is on your mind. And for him to come out on the other end of this and be successful does put them in legendary status. And now with their, you know, their third major under their belt, they're here, you know, competing as the best of all time. You know, there's really very few teams that you can now stack up against them, right? It would either be them, Fnatic as the only other three-time champion, or that run that Luminosity SK had there for a period of time. But in CSGO history, you know, I really think it's either them or Fnatic. And, you know, maybe I would give the edge to Fnatic just because they did it, I still think, over a longer period of time. Like, they won the 2013 and then the 2015. And
it's actually another one. Almost the same amount of time, though. Like,
is
almost
it that close?
Within a couple months, I looked it up. It's like 2 years and a couple months one way or the other, depending on what team you're looking at. So, I mean, for the sake of conversation, they've been dominant for just about the same amount of time as Fnatic.
Yeah. Man, and it's not even like it's spare competition, in my opinion.
I mean, competition's probably better now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's we talk about diversity in the tournament and how just, you know, Astralis just dominated. That's just a credit to them. I mean, Na'Vi, you know, Liquid, these MIBR, these are all world teams, and they're just making it look easy. It's insane.
We can get into a little bit of post major now if you want. Because I do, we can use this team as a segue, because I'm curious on your guys' thoughts, and that would be on Ninjas in Pajamas. Although they're one of the teams that I feel like can take away some positives, right? The fact that they qualified was a huge deal, but they also got smoked against Astralis. I know you guys follow them a whole lot more than I do. I don't know if, what are your guys' thoughts on NIP and what needs to change, if anything?
I really don't think much of anything. I mean, look at the teams out there. Like, who are they going to get better than, right? Like,
I threw out the crazy thing in our Discord, Olafmeister. FaZe drops all of them.
But who do you
and
replace?
And then he goes to Nip.
With Dennis.
It would have to be Dennis.
But, yeah. But even so, I mean, you have Rez, who's a good young player. But outside of that, I mean, I don't think they could get any better than the MIBRs, the Navis, the Astralises, the Liquids of the world.
It depends. Are they willing to wanting to stay only all Swedish or not, right? That's what it kind of comes down to.
Yeah.
Are they willing to go outside of that? Because if they're not, then there is slight limitations here. You know,
well, and I think it's also like Brett brought up a good point too, though, like with expectations. You know, when these teams are making their roster moves, I know they're going to tweet out that they want to be the best in the world, and obviously every roster move is to win a major, right? Everyone wants to be the major winner. But seriously, what are your expectations when you make a roster move at some of these teams? Like, is your goal like every time you make a roster move, now we got Astralis. Now they don't know what's going to hit them. Because if that is your expectations as an org, I think you're solely going to be disappointed and you're just constantly going to be making roster moves.
With the amount of talented teams out there, it's not an unrealistic goal to have realistic goals, right? Like, getting to the major is an accomplishment. Getting to the legend stage is an accomplishment. Getting to the championship stage, you know, these are... Just get there. Be the ents of that major. Just get in the tournament. I think for NIP fans, for me, that is a realistic expectation that I can be okay with, given the current just picture of CSGO right now. So get me there, have a showing, and I'll be happy. But thinking that they could go out there and make a move and be automatically be like a top three or four team, I just don't see it. And then at that point, why even make a change? Why not keep continuity there? I mean, you got to that stage.
I think they need to be aiming for top four. Like, I think top four is really what you need to be shooting for. Yeah, I do. But, just because, like, I get it. Number one, okay, let's take Astralis and just put them in another stratosphere, right? But all these other teams have shown kinks in their armor. You don't get the consistency we've wanted
Okay, go ahead, Nuge. I'm sorry.
Well, like Liquid and Na'Vi, right? Both of these guys have shown that they are able to lose matches. It's not the first time they've been upset in early stages. Mm-hmm. I think it's important, first and foremost, to obviously get legend status. I think people's expectations dropped after being out of this position for the last couple of years now, right? It's been a while. So I just don't think they internally should drop their expectations to...
I don't think where they're at right now is really dropping expectations. At that point, and Anuj, you know, help me. I mean, outside of, you know, maybe a one move, you know, bringing in Olaf and replacing Dennis, I mean, what else would you do with that lineup? What moves do you think they should make? Are we talking about maybe Forrest and Get Right? Or, I mean, of course it's not going to be Rez.
I don't know what's necessarily available for them. Like, I wouldn't know the Swedish scene deep enough to know what talent pool they're able to draw from. Because, again, I don't think necessarily taking somebody from Fnatic and throwing them over there is going to fix all their problems, right? I don't think there's anybody necessarily good enough there to hop on and make that big of a difference. I think legend status should always be the goal, right? At least being top eight in these situations and guaranteeing yourself, you know, with the branding that they have, there's no reason they shouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, right. And Ezen, doesn't that give them some breathing room now, right? You want to talk about Brett, your expectation is you just want them to get to the dance, right? Just get to the dance and then you'll can find your way to the top. Well, that's expectation met. They're legends. They're automatically qualifying for the next major. They can make any roster move they want knowing that they have this roster to play around with at the next major.
And help me understand, like, it's they have to keep three, right?
Yeah, you have to keep three from the roster to stay on. And I don't think you see a double replacement right now with them. I mean, I think the Get Right branding and Forrest branding is so big that if you have them for the next major, it's only going to be good for you, I mean, for their team, for their fan base, so... Mm-hmm. So, if a change comes, it'd be like one in my mind.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking. I don't think they're going to get rid of Lekro because I actually like the way Lekro played in this.
No, he played tournament. Well. He did. He played really well.
So, maybe it's one move. They can only make two. But I would like to see what this team could do with Lekro. And yeah, I mean, it has to be somebody, because the chemistry on the team's great. Like, you see the guys, they interact well with each other. There's something to be said for that. It just has to be somebody just head and shoulders better than Dennis for me to be like, okay, this is going to be a good move. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think we're on pretty much on the same boat there.
Huh, and then other teams have already started their post-major roster shuffle. We talked a little bit about it last week with NRG picking up Tarek.
Big dropping, move, I think we all agree there.
Right.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Huge move on their part for a team that's struggled on the LAN scene, right? They've struggled on the big stage. They have no problem getting to the big stage. They've just always struggled when they get there. Having someone like Tarek, having that experience.
That keeps them top five in my mind, like, easily. That should be a top five team right there, consistently.
Should be.
With the players they have, should be, right?
Yeah. And like you said, it also doesn't help. It doesn't hurt to see Navi's performance and FaZe's performance in the playoffs, for sure.
Who do you think is better right now, Liquid or NRG with the lineups they have?
I'm still going to give Liquid a huge pass for the major. New roster still. Even Twist with his mom haircut after the major was saying how it wasn't that they didn't know what was going on. They knew exactly what they were doing. They watched film. They just didn't react to it, which tells me that the team didn't have a voice. They didn't have an in-game leader really holding the fort down. And I think that's difficult for a new team, you know, trying to figure out people's personalities and blends. And with Stewie 2K, it's such a big name coming into the organization, right? That I could almost see where, you know, as an in-game leader, maybe you're a little, you know, hey, I don't want to tell Stewie how to play his game or whatnot there. Or maybe he isn't listening as well.
You're trying to find a comfort level right now for everybody,
you're trying to find
right?
that comfort level. And so I give Liquid a huge, huge, huge pass on that. It also helps that Ents also beat Na'Vi. Had Na'Vi just dismantled and 2-0'd Ents, I'd be saying my tone would probably be a little different right now, but the fact that they also beat Na'Vi, I think,
like, it wasn't a fluke.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Like,
Ents is a good team. Yeah, we know they're a good team now. Like, they've shown that in the movie.
I think if anyone was the most relieved about that, was probably Team Liquid. Like, as soon as Team Liquid saw Ents beat Na'Vi, they were probably like, oh, thank God. It's not us.
You know what's crazy? I mean, yeah, Liquid can look at that and like, man, Ents beat Na'Vi, that's great. But at the same time, Na'Vi is saying the same thing. If Liquid beats Ents and Na'Vi loses to Liquid, they're like, oh, okay, we lost to the number two team in the world, right?
Yeah.
We get a pass. But now we're saying,
like,
you know,
we had a gimme. They gave us a gimme.
Or that against Na'Vi of, like, why couldn't you beat Ents? But Liquid gets a pass.
Yeah, it's a significantly worse loss for Na'Vi than it is for Liquid. Because Na'Vi knew to be prepared, right? Like, they weren't a Cinderella story coming against Na'Vi anymore. Like, they had just beaten Liquid. You should have been ready for that game. You should have been fully prepared for that game. So I think the loss looks a lot worse for them. Yeah, but like, I agree. I think Liquid right now would still probably be my number one NA team. I don't think NRG is that far behind. I think NRG needed leadership and somebody that's been there before. I think that's really what they lacked is somebody mid-game that's been in a tough situation that can help out with the calls. Tarek was the IGL when they won, you know, when they won it all with Cloud9. So I think that was really the biggest pickup that we've seen in the offseason, or, you know, the offseason coming up a little bit right here. There's a lot of rumors going on though right now. I mean, Cloud9 is rumored to pick up Sunny. That was just reported a few hours ago.
Really?
That he is a potential fifth option for them.
For once, we're reporting new information.
Well, there's other... Decay is reporting that Kerrigan is close to signing with Mouse Sports, and that's another team people are just forgetting about. This team was ranked in the top five.
Just a couple weeks ago, there were reports that Envy was looking at a way to keep him.
Yeah. This is more what I would expect, though.
I think it's what everyone was expecting, for him to go back home to EU.
He's not in a rebuilding stage part of his career. I mean, that's he's beyond that. He needs to get onto a team where they have a chance to win now. And I think this really helps Mouse Sports, because I think Mouse Sports was very close. And they, you know, we've seen this happen before. We saw this happen with NIP, where you get steamrolled a little bit early on and you lose in the qualifiers. It's unfortunate. It's not going to be any easier in the EU qualifiers going forward with the teams that did get knocked out. So I think Mouse Sports potentially getting him, you know, would be huge. What else
Cloud9
has happened?
Flush is out of Cloud9, so
yeah,
that could be a NIP replacement, possibly. You have Zealous is out of Cloud9. Kind of surprised by that. Not so much the fact that he's out. I mean, he had a good first major performance, given the conditions, right? The fact that he was pretty much thrown in there for the most part last minute. I thought I was really impressed with him. I guess the thing that I'm surprised about is the fact that Cloud9 as an organization's mindset, the fact that they are ready to get a established player right now. They are not willing to
reset.
Well, they're not willing to have that rookie player and mold that rookie into what Stewie2K turned into, right? Like, they want an established player and they want to compete right now. So kind of surprised that, again, not that Zealous is out, just the fact that's their mindset.
I'm a little surprised he's out. Like, why trial him for 3 months where he's not going to have a ton of opportunity to shine, because you're not putting him in best positions right now. He's taking some of the leftover spots that people where he necessarily hasn't played. So it's a bigger adjustment for him. He's playing on the tier one stage for the first time. He didn't play great, but he wasn't terrible. But they gave Stewie time.
He wasn't the reason
he lost. Yeah, it wasn't like they gave Stewie time to mature. They've given players time to mature. I don't get why you necessarily trial him for a few months,
right,
and then call it quits. But I guess if the rumors are true that they're getting Sunny, then they are going to a full EU lineup. I mean, at this point, right? Like,
they got Rush and
Automatic. I mean, well, not full EU lineup, but like they're going to be a majority EU, wouldn't they?
We're America, Anuj. We're a melting pot. Okay,
that not my America.
Some people say the most American thing Cloud9 could do.
Wait, who's their five here? If they had Sunny, they would have Sunny, Golden, and then who's the
Kyo?
Oh, Kyo. Yeah, so they'd have three out of five.
Yeah. Man, I was blanking on Kyo.
I was too.
The guy's so quiet.
Damn. Problem is now the forgotten.
Which is probably good for him, right? He probably doesn't mind. No one wants me off the roster if they can't remember me. It's okay.
It still feels like a weird lineup, but it's a good lineup. I mean, if Sunny comes and does that lineup, that wouldn't be a bad fight right there.
No.
Golden still has to prove himself to me. Like, I know we're all really
I'm confused about. What is their fascination with Golden? Is it just the fact that the promise is so high, but he got, you know, he was out for whatever reason. I still don't know if we know the official reason why Golden was out for the length of time that he was. But it's just so weird that Cloud9 has such loyalty towards him.
I'm not surprised that Cloud9 has loyalty towards him. I'm surprised that the fan base is so much more behind him. Like, he got kicked to FaZe from FaZe when he was playing well at that point. But he had a tough stretch prior to that. So I'm just surprised that there is as much hope. Hey, I mean, I hope he does well. I love to see Cloud9 do well. I root for them as an organization. I want to see them succeed. So I do hope he does well. I'm just surprised that he's had that much of a that much support coming in behind him. So I'm curious to see, you know, what they do. I think they are definitely not top two in NA. With their current lineup, if we count them as NA, and if you count them in EU, then they're not, probably not even.
I think you're still there. So here's the thing, right? I think they're always NA because they're always going to be playing on the NA side of ESL, no matter what what roster they get, they're not moving to EU.
Well, they're not top two NA, so that's kind of a problem to begin with, I think, right now, but.
But yeah, we'll see what moves they make. And you can maybe overperform. Isn't that the NA side?
Yeah. Well,
like, the NA stands
you're going to have a good chance to still make it. Yeah.
Right.
You're still in position. Like, because then it's Complexity and all these other guys right there.
Yep. Apart from that, though, I think that's really so far the only roster shakeup that's been going on. I think you're still up in the air is complexity, Dallas's own complexity. Nothing is still on paper as a stand-in.
We'll see what that kind of means.
Yeah, I don't know where his mind is at. He might not want to. Maybe traveling once to Europe to compete was enough for him, or maybe it was enough to get his juice flowing again. You know,
I would have loved to see Tarek join Complexity.
Yeah,
that's what I would have wanted to
see. I honestly thought he was. I thought
that would have been an awesome move for them.
If I had to put my money on anything, that's where I thought Tarek was going to land. I was really surprised to hear that NRG picked him up.
Him and Stan played together on Optic for a while, didn't they? They were like part of that same lineup, were they not?
I believe so.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, yeah.
They had like Mixwell and
a hot minute.
Naf. Yeah, I think that would have been a really good move for Complexity. It's a bummer that they missed out on him. Yeah, the NA side is going to be a little bit interesting. On the EU side, we're going to have to wait and see. All these teams made it pretty far in the tournament, so their moves will kind of start to trickle in now.
Yeah, for sure. Last thoughts on the major before we get into E-News? I think overall, it was an enjoyable major to me. I thought, as far from a production standpoint, I thought it was great. No real tech delays from what I remember. Nothing extended or delayed or anything like that. So
everything started on time.
Yeah,
I know that because I was literally going off of the time for this one based on where we were traveling around. So I was like, oh, nice. It's like... it starts when they said it was going to start.
Very
That's
rare
fantastic.
Esports.
Yeah.
So I think ESL put on an amazing major for all the crap that they get from the fans' point of view. I still think
the Facebook deal and all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
I still think though that they put on the best major, bar none. Fallen was even tweeting out saying that this was the best major and they should be getting more.
It was fantastic.
And like I said, people could say what they want about the format. The format was perfect. The format is what got us to the playoffs. Where last week, if you remember correctly, we were saying that this is exactly what you want. This is putting either Na'Vi or Astralis or Liquid and Astralis in the finals. You're going to get 1v2 or 1v3. Well, guess what? That's what playoffs are for, is to have a Cinderella story. Playoffs,
it was,
the best of ones are, or you know, one elimination playoffs are there to be broken, right? We mentioned it, I think, 3 episodes ago. There's always one team ready to bust your bracket, and Ents was that team this time around.
It happens in traditional sports. This is exactly
how
it went down in esports this time. So I agree that the major was fantastic. I thought some cool things with the introductions, bringing Pasha in, you know, to present the trophy, I thought was kind of a neat thing there. Also, did y'all notice on the back screens behind the players, if somebody was dead, like they grayed them out and left the player that was alive, like colored in?
Mm-hmm. I like that feature. Yeah.
I thought that was like really, like
They've
again,
done that before.
Different.
They did that.
They
Columbus
have.
Major.
It looks good, you know, like stuff like that. I thought it was just presented well. And Stunna did a good job, you know, like I was a little nervous for him.
I'm normally not a fan of Stunna.
Yeah, like I love him. I like him as a person. I was a little hesitant. Like, man, Machine is so good in these situations. It's not so much that
I think it was the Stunna power of the
like,
suit.
Yeah, he did well. So yeah, definitely happy for him.
You have OJ. You can never go wrong with OJ on stage.
Can't go wrong with OJ.
That dude is a level of his own. He's the Astralis of stage hosts.
He is,
in my
good.
Opinion. He is great.
And the viewership was fantastic. They hit 1.2 million. So the viewership was, again, did fantastic for Counter-Strike, and they, you know, continue to do well when it counts for them, because I just think the game is just, again, so easy to just kind of watch. Even if you don't really understand the game, you could just sit there and look at it and have a pretty decent...
Agreed, sir. That's it for our Katowice talk. We've done enough episodes on it. We'll get back to normal Counter-Strike and fun next week. But again, congratulations to Astralis on your back-to-back major. Oh, let's get into some e-news, shall we? E-news, of course, is still brought to you by Spaceman Company. Go ahead and check them out on Twitter, at Spaceman Company. Let them know TCR sent you. They make clothing and maybe more in the future. But good dudes there, so go ahead and buy a t-shirt. Let's keep on the CSGO trend, shall we? Blast Pro is having their Soy Polo?
Sao Paulo, Brazil. So it'll be going to Brazil. I think we got some awesome teams here. This is like basically a major quarterfinals and beyond, right?
Ents invited, which again, I think if you want to look at stuff that's worth it, right? I mean, you didn't win the major, but this puts you on a lot of invite lists, which is huge for them because pre-major Ents would not be here.
Never. Not with this grouping of teams. I mean, teams that will be here: Astralis, MIBR, Liquid, NIP, FaZe, and now Ents, the final invited team, and that'll be March 22nd and 23rd.
MIBR wasn't going to be there.
No, they're 100% going to be there.
There is a Brazilian team not able to make that tournament, or MIBR wasn't able to make a Brazilian tournament. I could be getting my Brazilian tournaments mixed up. But
this one I know they're in, because teams have even commented on the fact that this would be a good way for MIBR to turn it around. I think it was just Glaive that tweeted that out or something the other day.
All right. Maybe things changed then. Because originally it was like a scheduling conflict. Like there was just no way that they could do it. I don't know. Maybe I'm making that up. But I thought I saw that on Twitter. You can never trust Twitter, though. Zipnix breaks into Anuch. If you don't stop highlighting the notes, I can't read them. Zipnix breaks into top 40 highest earning esports pros. So there's that for him.
No, but that's the only non-Dota 2 player on the list of the top 40. Everybody else, 1 through 39.
One TI in Dota.
I know, but that's why that's list. The stat's not impressive if you don't mention that part. Who cares if he's in the top 40? Top 40 being the only non-Dota 2 player, I think, means quite a bit there. Yeah. And then GetRight overtook Pasha after this major as the most kills ever in CSGO. So
he's in a new still trying to end his career with NIP.
No, I love him. I can't let it go. I get mad sometimes. I hit things. I get violent. I get sad. But I still love him. He's like my firstborn, dude. I can't let him go.
In Call of Duty, you have some roster moves happening, some rumored roster mania happening before CWL Fort Worth, which I think will be it. If they ever respond to our emails, we'll see. Last year was pretty pretty last minute on their
last
part.
Last minute.
It was like three hours before the first match.
Yeah.
There's your media credentials.
So,
yeah.
I assume that's going to be the same this year. So we'll be there for sure, considering it's like 20 minutes away from Anuj and me. But Attach on FaZe, rumored to be traded to Evil Genius.
Yeah, and there's a time for roster mania. You're going to see like United. There's a lot of rumors involving them. They're constantly involved in roster mania, so keep an eye out. We'll have more on that in the coming episodes, but there's a lot of rumored moves right now, and we'll kind of update you as that goes. And then on other fronts, I mean, I know we mentioned this before, and I know Tim, there was kind of a discussion we wanted to talk about regarding this, and maybe we get into it a later time, but Apex reached 50 million players in 4 weeks,
in 1 month's time.
And
I know the headlines.
They are just racking.
I don't want to get too. Are they though? Because the skins suck. Are people buying money for the skins?
Oh, I guarantee you.
People buy boxes. They're not buying the skin. What people are buying is they're buying loot boxes in hopes of getting the skin that they want or the heirloom items that are in the game. So
I guess the skins that's
where they're making.
Not worth it for me.
That's where they're making crazy money.
You're not their demographic.
With 50 million people.
Everyone else is.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess with 50 million people, they don't need me buying a box, right? If 1% of those think it's worth buying loot boxes, they're okay.
And trust me, nobody buys one box. It's like eating one chip out of the bag. That's not how that works.
I know a lot of people are, and I don't want to get bogged down on this, so I'll make my point, and then we can move on. But they're saying like, oh, Apex got there faster than Fortnite. Okay, let me tell you something. And I am not a Fortnite fan, right? Listeners of the show know that I don't go out of my way to support Fortnite.
I'm like the only defender here at this point.
That's right.
And even I'm losing faith.
But with that being, man, I uninstalled it. So, that being said, Apex would not be what it is today if it wasn't for Fortnite. Fortnite was the first, I think, to really break out this BR genre to the general free-to-play public.
They made the free-to-play jump.
Yes, yeah, yes. Like they paved Fortnite. They paved the way for those non-gamers to be interested in this type of stuff. Because I still have friends that play Apex that would never touch this type of game.
Yeah, I mean, I also would say PUBG paved the way for Fortnite because PUBG's popularity is
right.
What really, like H1, I know H1 was there, right? But PUBG is the one that really went to, like, you started hearing these crazy numbers in the millions, which at that time was like, oh my God, they got 18 million players or something like that, you know? And it was kind of right. Unheard of in Doc's Return and all these crazy numbers that took place in that. But yeah, Fortnite going the free-to-play model really helped set up Apex, because Fortnite is not a game for necessarily everyone if you're an FPS player, right?
Right.
And Apex is that. So yeah, they definitely helped because they had such a big player base in Fortnite. Naturally, people are going to cross over, but
it's just
50 million in 4 weeks, dude. That's yeah, another level.
I'm just saying, though, it's to me, it's kind of like comparing salaries in baseball, you know? Bryce Harper broke the record this time. Next year, you're going to get another player to break the record. And next year, you're going to get another player to break the record.
But there's always crappy ones in between, right?
Of how things
like
work.
Like that Radical Heights. And like, there's been other BR games and Paladins or whatever the Paladins
right.
BR. Other BRs in between that have like failed really bad, right? What's the one that you and me played? We downloaded
those. Islands of Nine.
Islands of Nine. Like, yeah, there's like all these other ones.
Which plays very similar to
good.
Apex, but.
But you have to still make a good game.
Yeah.
It just shows that the players are there and willing, right?
Right.
That's what you see.
In Overwatch, you had week 3 wrap up. I know Brett and I went to Fahrenheit 214s, which is the Dallas Fuel fan club. If you want to get in on that, DFW listeners, they're at Fahrenheit 214 on Twitter. Nice little fan club that that they got going on there, not ran by the org, which is, I think, the most important thing. You can go in Discord
right.
and talk bad about the team and not feel like you're going to get banned, which is great for me, let me tell you. Man, that was a fun watch party. We went to crazy match against Shanghai.
Yeah, and I mean, we're 3 weeks into the season, so you kind of start to get a feel of where teams are going to be going forward. I guess like a couple of surprises for me. You got the LA Valiant. They were a playoff team last year, starting off the season at 0-5. Go figure. Nobody saw that coming. And another surprise being the Houston Outlaws with that talent sitting at 2-3 to start off things. But you know, the league has been full of surprises in week 3 too. We got the Atlanta Reign sitting at 3-1. With mega Twitch superstar DeFran kind of leading the way and changing the meta, which is always fun, you know, playing, you know, those off heroes
and behaving
know,
himself. I'll be the first
and
to
behaving
admit
himself.
That I think we were yeah. all wrong, right? Ahead yeah. of time in our preview, we were like, if DeFran can keep himself together, and he is an upstanding citizen.
Right, and if you want to go, you know, local for our Dallas Fuel listeners, I mean, it's kind of been a Jekyll and Hyde season, but they're kind of right there where I thought they were going to be starting the season. They're just out of a, or what would be a playoff spot right now. They win, lose, win. You know, it's it's not very consistent. It's ugly at times, but yeah, I mean, they're getting the job done.
And we witnessed a true C9 by Shanghai.
Oh, that was
Friday
great.
Night. A true C9. You don't see that very often, but man, when you do, you appreciate it.
Yeah, no, that was great. Everyone was going crazy.
And in other e-news, I will bring this up in e-news too, because this is a good segue. So we tease that we're going to have more content on YouTube, which we are, when I get a computer desk, that is, because I just can't edit and do all that on the floor. I'm not an animal. But we are going to start this series on YouTube called Table Talk with the Center Ring. And it's pretty much where, you know, one of us or two of us or whoever that we have is just going to spend 10 minutes or so talking about a one-off topic, right? Whether it be Fortnite or whatever, right? Something that typically think that we would spend a minute on in e-news, well, we're going to spend time 10 minutes on it, right, on a separate video. And we're going to put that up on YouTube. It won't be on the podcast feed or anything like that. So follow us on YouTube if you want to keep up with that. But something that I think I will bring up on a future episode for that is going to be the Evo 2019 lineup. That was announced, I believe, on Wednesday, sometime last week. Some of the obvious, you got Street Fighter V, that's making a return. Dragon Ball FighterZ, that's going to be back. Tekken 7, Blaze Blue, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate will be there. So that will be its debut. You're going to have new games like Soul Calibur. I say new. New old games are returning. Mortal Kombat 11 will be there. Samurai Showdown will be there. Under Night in Birth will be there. And let me see here. Is there one missing? I think the whole list is there. Do one of you guys delete Super Smash, Melee?
No, I don't think either of us did. How That's interesting.
Because Melee will not be at this year's Evo.
That's crazy. But I kind of love it inside.
Insane, man. Insane. And I did a poll on our Twitter at the Center Ring over the week and asking who needs who more. Does Evo need Melee? Does Melee need Evo? Or neither one and they'll both be fine without each other? Majority said that one. Majority of the people who voted said that neither of them need each other. I tend to agree. If you had to make me pick a side, I would almost say Evo needs Melee more. But I do understand why they didn't pick it up. I think it's bad for business to have two Smash Bros there, right? Pick Ultimate or Melee. You're going to go with Ultimate. It's the new shiny toy. I think the player base and the viewership is going to be bigger. Obviously, with it being newer, it's online. More people are playing it. Melee is kind of its own thing now. You know, it hasn't always been an Evo. It's going to survive, and let's face it, Mortal Kombat 11 is going to be exciting for 1 month, and then it's going to suck because they're going to overbalance the hell out of the game like they do every Mortal Kombat game, and no one's going to play it within 6 months. And then we'll have Melee back for next year's Evo. So everyone freaking out that Melee's dead. No, it's not. It's just not at Evo. Melee is going to do just fine. They still have Big House. They still got Summit. They still have Genesis. There's still plenty of Melee to go around. And again, I think you will see some of the viewership take a hit on Evo. You know, the game that ultimately ended up replacing it was Under Night and Birth, and which has been at Evo in the past, just never on the main stage. The game's been out forever. It's just I don't think has the same window shopper viewership that Melee has, right? Like, if you guys were on Twitch and you saw, oh man, a Melee stream's got 80,000 viewers, maybe I should click here and watch it. But if you saw Under Night, you'd be like, what the hell is this?
I still don't know what that is, Tim. So, there you go.
It's a Japanese game.
Okay, all right.
That's what you need to know, okay? That. It's got, you know, weird characters, women with big anime boobs, you know. It's got
Brett's only got one anime section bookmarked on his browser.
And I'm in, boys. All right, let's go.
Well,
let's go.
Line me up.
Let's Google that right now.
So, like I said, I want to spend time on that on a future video and talk more in depth about it and give my opinions. So I'll spend that on a Table Talk episode on YouTube next week, though, when I get my computer desk, because I'm not going to lie, I can't feel my back right now. Which is exactly why we're going to end the show.
Always carrying the show. Always.
That's right. It's just 'cause I put the show on my back. That's why.
He put no, the team on his back.
It's because I wasn't smart and I didn't check IKEA's inventory before I decided to move my desk out of my office, thinking, ah, not a big deal. I'll have one. But that's okay. Live and learn. That's what I always say. Live and learn. Just like I hope all of our listeners lived and learned through this episode of The Center Ring, episode 146 is done. It's in the books. I thank you so much for listening. Whether you skipped around, whether you listened to the whole thing, it doesn't matter. I love you all the same. It all counts for a listen, so joke's on you. We will be back next week. I don't know. There's not a major, so I don't know what we're going to talk about. Maybe some Overwatch League? I don't know. Let us know on Twitter what we should talk about at The Center Ring. Or even better, hit us up in our Discord. You can go to our website, tcr.gg. It has all the links and everything there. Join the Discord. Be a part of the conversation. We got a good group of dudes in there that are always chatting it up. But that's all for next week. For Anuj, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see ya.
Easy for Ents.